الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز إنما المؤمنون إخوة وقال الله عز وجل وتعاونوا بالبر والتقوى وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise, glory and perfection and all forms of worship and praise are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama and upon his purified and beautiful family, and upon the illustrious and noble companions, and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam. Respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed and noble day of Jumu'ah. And whilst we remain here in the sanctuary of Allah azza wa jal, may our hearts be purified, may our actions be accepted, and may we all enter once again into the beautiful gardens of paradise alongside the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we talked about the hijrah. And the hijrah, not just the hijrah and the emigration that took place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left Makkatul Mukarramah for Madinatul Munawwara, but rather the hijrah also that we must do away from bad deeds, away from sins, and to make sure that we move our hearts and our souls and our minds towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For any hijrah to be accepted, whether worldly or whether spiritual, it needs to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we move away from all forms of ma'asiyah and sin and transgression, and we move towards the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling His commands and in following the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we learned quite a few important facts on how we can physically in this day and age do hijrah within our homes, within our communities and our societies, also within ourselves, and move gradually towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards implementing our deen and towards following the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah al-Aziz, today we will also continue on the importance and a lesson from hijrah, and which is an important one for us all here today. So unity and harmony are amongst the ideals that most of human beings they aspire towards. So all human beings, whether in the east or the west or the north or the south, they all try to form some form of unity and some form of harmony. And this is an ideal that Islam encourages and pushes and encourages all of humanity to achieve. But this is more so stressed for the Muslim and the Ummah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see this form of unity, this form of harmony, this cohesion, this working together in our arkan, in our five pillars of our deen. We see that we are unified in declaring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are harmonious in reciting this abundantly and saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, chanting the praise and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and various other litanies and forms to remind ourselves of our faith in the oneness of Allah azza wa jalla, and how we are united irrespective of race and color and distance in this faith. And also in our salah, we stand together unified, we stand together in harmony, irrespective of the person on the right or the left being older or younger, richer or poorer, known or unknown. We stand united and we stand at peace within our hearts and our minds in harmony when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we try to bring about unity in our zakah, in helping those people who are less fortunate, and raising their standard of living, and helping them and enabling them to the best of our abilities. And again, in our salah, we are unified when we fast together, when we open our fast, when we share our fast, when we pray. And similarly, the greatest example and demonstration of unity is that of Hajj, which unites all of the Muslim Ummah throughout the world. And we come together praising, glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal, following and retracing in the footsteps of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So whilst we see unity in some way or form in countries, Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries, we should reflect upon ourselves more importantly, and we can see from the beginning of our pillar to the very last pillar of Islam, everything pushes us and encourages us towards unity, towards harmony. And this unity and harmony develops an equilibrium, which is a balance, a very, very fine and beautiful balance within ourselves and also within our homes and similarly within our society. It promotes understanding, mutual understanding. It promotes compassion, mercy and cooperation, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates and reminds us again and again. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do those things that are right, and to support one another and cooperate with one another in all of those things that are righteous and those things that are good, and to keep away from all of those things that are bad. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. We are the best nation sent forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the very reason that we encourage good and we discourage bad, and we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are united in this. So whether you have a particular color skin, whether you come from a particular race or a heritage, none of these things matter. What matters most to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we are united when we present ourselves before Allah Azza wa Jal. And the best example that we can see of unity is in the unity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the Sahaba ikram in Makkatul Mukarramah. We also see the unity in Madinatul Munawwara. And the best and most comprehensive example that we can see is in the Mu'akha, which is when the Muhajireen and the Ansar were brought together by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were made into one brotherhood or one sisterhood, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam select individually people from Mecca and people from Medina and made them into brothers. And they shared everything. They shared their wealth, they shared their fruits and their crops, they shared their time, their houses, they shared pretty much everything that they had. They divided that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in following the command of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is a very important thing that I want to remind all of us here today in this community, in this very masjid, that with unity we are strong, we are united, and we have a voice. With unity there is peace and harmony within ourselves, within our homes and within our community. And without that unity we will be fractured and we will be weak and we will be divided. And we see the greatest example of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that he always tried to unite people and for them to forgive one another, to overlook each other's shortcomings and failings, and to come together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us in this regard that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding all of us that believers are but a single brotherhood. And this includes sisters as well. They are a sisterhood and a brotherhood. فَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And therefore we need to make peace with one another. We need to unite with one another. And we need to reconcile our difference, any misunderstandings that we may have. And equally always be aware and conscious and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we may receive the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in this regard also gives us a very beautiful parable, a very beautiful example of how the Muslim Ummah is or should be, and how we should be united and harmonious, and we should be in tune with one another. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the example of the believers in their affection and in their mercy and in their compassion for each other is that of one body, of one body. When any one of its limbs aches, then the entire body reacts with sleeplessness and with fever. We are all united. in all united in our pain, in our suffering, in our happiness, in our joy, in our worship, in our ibadah, in our submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we are bound together physically, we are bound together mentally and emotionally and spiritually as well. Look at now the world, how it has shrunk to such a degree that what happens in Ukraine affects not just us, affects all of Europe and most of the world. What happens in China, what happens in America, what happens in the Middle East, it is affecting the entire world. It's almost like the world is one organism, and when one part is affected or infected, then everything else also aches as well. This is what happens physically, this is what happens intellectually as well. When certain people make certain policies, then it affects not just the local, but it can affect other people on an international scale as well. Emotionally, we can say things that can rile up and cause friction and cause riots and cause so many things just by stirring up the emotions of a few people, and that can cascade and make it something that we can't control. And similarly spiritually as well, we are all connected through our arwah, through our spirits, through our souls, and we are connected to one another, and most importantly we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although the limbs are different, every single one of them, the heart is different, the blood circulation is different, the lungs, the brain, everything of the body is very, very different and very distinct, yet despite all of their differences, they all function and they work together, and this is who we are. Look at how many systems are operating, but they are working together. They are working in peace, in harmony, in unity. And when those systems fail, when your own immune system starts to attack you and the cells start to degrade, then it becomes cancerous. When your own system starts to fail, that unity, that harmony is no longer there, and your own body goes against you. This is on a micro level. And imagine now on a macro level, when we stop working with one another, when we stop feeling the pain and suffering of one another, when we stop uniting and work and being in harmony with one another, then what do you think will happen to the ummah? Exactly what we can see throughout the world today, in the Middle East, in Asia, in Europe, everywhere you see Muslims, they are suffering, they are in pain, they are in loss, they are in sorrow, because we are not working as one unit. And this is why the Messenger ﷺ gave this very, very powerful example, that you can't just live in an isolated world, in a society full of just separation, and just say it's all about me, about you, or just about your family, you don't need to worry about other people. No, we are all connected, whether you want to accept that or not. We are physically connected, because we come from the same source that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. We are all spiritually connected because we are connected to the source from that root that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. And then He divided into millions and billions and trillions. We are all there. So we need to learn to be together just the way the Muhajireen and the Ansar. The people of the Ansar, they had a very different lifestyle. They were in their agriculture, they were in their farmlands, they have a very different lifestyle. And the people of Makkah, tradesmen, a very, very different lifestyle as well. But in spite of their differences, what brought them together was their faith. What brought harmony and peace into the society of Madinatul Munawwara was not just the constitution of Medina, but their brotherhood, their sisterhood, that they're coming together and uniting in their faith, uniting in their physical things and working together in peace and harmony for their own development and for the development of their families and the community and the society. So we need to re-establish this and regain this thing which has been lost within our communities, and stop just thinking about ourselves individually and let them do what they want to do, I've got nothing to do with it. This is generally what happens if somebody does something, think, oh okay, I don't want anything to do with this. But rather we should be encouraging one another and supporting one another just the way we encourage and support each other in our faith. We need to encourage and support each other within our communities, within our societies, to instill greater affection, greater mercy, greater compassion and understanding and harmony. Why? Because we are all equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, that there's la fadla li arabiyyin ala ajami, that there is no virtue, that there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, of a white person over a black person. We are all equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one or no race is superior, no lineage is superior. We need to work in that harmony, and we need to avoid bad opinions of one another. Generally, people don't engage with other people. Why? you may come from Africa, you may come from Asia, you may come from the Middle East, and you say, oh, I'm not going to engage with them, I'm not going to talk to them, they're like this, and they're like this, or they do things like this, or they behave. We have these negative assumptions and opinions about other people, or that these people are inherently bad, or they are evil, or I don't want to engage with them. But no, our faith dictates that we overcome all of those emotional or intellectual barriers, and we unite together. They are Muslim, alhamdulillah. And we shake their hands and we greet them and we hug them. We don't look at their color or their race or where they've come from. We hug them, we greet them, we meet them, just like you would meet your own mother or your sister or your daughter or your brother or your father or your son. This is how we meet one another, because we are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah azza wa jalla mentions in the Quran that, oh, you have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. That, oh, you have believed, avoid much negative assumptions about one another, that he's old or he's chalak and he's this and he's snidey and he's this and he's that, or she's like this, X, Y, and Z. We have this assumption, and because of these assumptions, and we keep our distances, we don't unite together and we don't work together as one body. Avoid much negative assumptions. Indeed, in assumption there is sin. And do not spy on one another, do not backbite on one another. And you can see on a macro scale as well as a micro scale what's happening within our societies. We're always backbiting about other people, about people from different cultures, about people from different areas. We are backbiting, we are assuming so many things about other people, and because of that the distances grow further and further. So which one of you would like to eat the flesh of their brother when that person is dead? You wouldn't do that. You would detest eating the flesh of your brother or your sister. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, fear Allah azza wa jal. Don't assume, don't backbite, don't do any of these things, but rather come closer together and unite and be in harmony with one another, because negative assumptions can be due to your upbringing. And this unfortunately happens within society, within our homes. I know from my, you know, from my conversations with other people, and I hear often as well, parents are telling their children, don't go to that person. Don't, unfortunately, they say, don't go to that black person, or don't go to that family member, or don't go to this person, don't go to that, he's from this area, she's from this area, they do this. They're constantly instilling this fear within their children, and this discrimination and this prejudice within their children, that don't do this. So it can happen due to your upbringing, it can happen due to the culture that you live in, it can also happen due to your experience. But what Islam requires us to do, to always overcome the negative assumptions and always give the benefit of the doubt to other people, whether especially when they are Muslim, and even when they are non-Muslim, we always give the benefit of the doubt of other people, and we always think the best of other people, and we make excuses, perhaps it was this, or perhaps they meant this, or perhaps they didn't need to do, or I didn't understand, or I wasn't there in the right angle, etc. You always give an excuse. This is the excuse that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would do, that when Sahaba ikram would come and they would say, I did this. No, he said, perhaps you did this, or perhaps you did that, or he would ignore it. He wouldn't just assume, oh, you're the worst, you're the most sinful, you're going to go to hell, or I'm not going to talk to you, stay away from me. He didn't say any of those things. He wouldn't assume anything like that. He constantly give people excuses and the benefit, and engage with them rather than disengage with them. And just ask yourselves, how much do we engage with our community members, with our neighbors, with our friends, or especially people of different color, different heritage, different race, even though they may be Muslim? How much do we know about them and their lifestyle and their problems and their difficulties? We just think about ourselves and we try to live this isolated life. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that beware of suspicion. Why? For suspicion is the worst of false tales. Do not look for others' faults. And this is something that we do all the time. This person, look at his beard, this person, look at their clothing, look at their behavior, look at their conduct. We're always thinking the worst and looking at the faults of other people. Do not spy on one another, and do not practice najish. Do not be jealous of one another, and do not nurse enmity against one another. Do not sever ties with one another. Become true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be brothers to one another, just as Allah azza wa jal has commanded. So ask yourselves, how many of things do we do, or are we actually trying to just assuming the worst about other people, not actually going to them directly and asking them, this is what I heard, please can you clarify? I don't want to assume anything negative or bad about you. Please tell me and explain this particular situation. We don't give the people the benefit of the doubt. We always assume and we always spread those false tales and backbiting, and we look for the faults in other people and we spry and we be jealous of other people, whereas all of these things are actually taking us away from unity, taking us away from peace and harmony, taking us away from working together as one body, just the way Allah Azza wa Jalla intended and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam wanted. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he came to reform an ignorant society. The people of Jahiliyyah would assume that girls are bad, so therefore they would bury them. They would assume there are so many different omens and superstitions, and then they would keep away from X, Y, and Z. And he came and he dispelled and he removed all of those barriers and that ignorance and said, no, you are all from the same source. You are all from Bani Adam. You are all equal before Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore you should eat together from the same bowl, from the same plate, and sit together. And this is how you should work and cooperate with one another. He came to remove that Jahiliyyah, that ignorance, that assumption within society. But if we look in this day and age with our social media, it spreads like wildfire, and we don't generally check or verify information. We just end up forwarding and spreading that same assumptions and lies and backbiting and things about other people within our society. We have lost that human touch. We have lost that spiritual connection with other people. We are losing that unity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to establish, that peace and harmony within ourselves. So in your heart and in your mind, we should never default doubt people in the first place. We should not just assume they are cunning, they are thieves, or they are harboring bad intentions and what, she's going to do this or she's going to do that. No, we should always have the best of assumptions and intentions for one another. And there are seven things that cause us to do this and behave like this. The very first thing is the shaitan. He is our open enemy. He never wants the Muslims to unite. He never wants you to be at peace and harmony. He always wants you to fight with one another, to vie with one another, to be against one another. So he is our open enemy. So when you have these assumptions, ask yourself, is it you, or is that waswas coming into your ear? Is it your nafs as well? Is it your ego that prevents you from shaking the hand of a person who may be lower than you in status? The person who may have a different color from you? The person who may come from a different heritage? What is preventing you? Is it your ego, or what's the real reason that you are not working together as the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam asked? Is it your arrogance? Is it your anger? Is it your misunderstandings and disagreements that you have with other people? Is it just a rumor that you heard? Or is it you playing your ignorance? Because all of these things, they create barriers and they prevent unity and harmony amongst one another. What we see though in Makkatul Mukarramah and in Madinatul Munawwarah, when they came and they were made into this brotherhood and this sisterhood by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they didn't have any of these things because they didn't look at any of these superficial things. They looked at each other's hearts, they looked at each other's akhlaq, and they assumed their best, and they always gave the benefit of doubt to other people, and they would constantly give excuses, whereas we give one chance and that's it for the rest of our life. I'm going to stay 10 miles away from that person. You burnt once, yes, but then we just stay away from them and we never engage with other people. And this is not the way of Islam. This is not the way of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So reflect on your own relationships. Reflect on your rishteh with your friends and your family and your community, with other brother Muslims and sisters, and ask yourself, how united are you in your faith? How united are you? How harmonious is your relationship, or peaceful is your relationship? Because it should be the way the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam wanted, as we see in Madinatul Munawwara. So there should be no envy within our hearts. There should be no hatred for one another, no suspicion or harm, or no cheating, and especially no betrayal for one another. We must not disconnect from one another, look down at one another. This has to be based on the trust that we should have for one another. And brotherhood and sisterhood is based on that mutual cooperation, that kindness, that tolerance and mercy and respect, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us again and again in the Quran, which the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has exemplified throughout his life again and again with the Sahaba ikram and with the non-Muslims. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adjust all of the matters that you have in differences. Sit down, cooperate, and explain yourselves, and don't just assume things. If you hear something about the imam, you hear something about your parents, you hear something about your friend, you hear something, just go and ask them directly and sit down with them. Don't just assume things, because next time you meet that person, because of that assumption, because of that backbiting or that gossip, you will not meet that person wholeheartedly. You would not shake their hands with the due respect or honor that you should really have in your heart because of that rumor, and you just allow that rumor or that misinformation to grow and grow. Always, always give people the benefit of the doubt and engage with them directly and ask them what's going on. The Messenger والسلام, gives a very beautiful example that the gates of paradise are opened every single Monday and every single Thursday. And as you know, this is the day, these are the days that the Messenger والسلام, would fast as well. And he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives every servant who does not associate anything with him, i.e. does not commit shirk, except a man with enmity between himself and his brother. It will be said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that delay these two into Jannah until they reconcile with one another. Again, here you can see these two people, they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, but in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be united. He wants them to be working together and be in harmony with one another. So again, their entrance is delayed until they reconcile with one another. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, do not be envious of one another. Do not artificially inflate prices against one another. Do not hate one another. Do not shun one another. Do not undercut one another in business transactions, and be fellow brothers and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, what is the mahal? What is the situation within your home? What is your interaction? What are your interactions like with other Muslims? And how much do we engage with others? How much are we united with other people in peace and harmony? Or are we actually doing all of those things that are negative for our spirituality and also for our physical harmony and peace and tolerance in our society, in our community? The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam emphatically mentions, none of you has believed until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself in terms of goodness. So you want the best. You want people to assume the best about you. You want people to see the goodness in you and the goodness in your actions. And therefore, equally, we also need to do the same for other people as well. So finally, the Muslim has six rights that I just wanted to remind every people today. Six rights that each and every single one of us has over every other Muslim. To greet him with peace when he meets him. When you say peace, not just say assalamu alaikum, but to say it from the heart. To actually say that I am a source of peace for you, and I want peace for you, I want blessings for you, I want barakah and khair for you. To meet mutually, to meet with love and respect and tolerance. To respond to the invitations and not just say, oh, I'm not going to go to that person, I've heard this about them, or he earns his money like this, or she does this, or he does that. No, to respond to their invitations, to respond to their sneeze, to visit them when they are sick, to follow their funeral when they die, and to love for them that which you love for yourself. So ask yourself, do you fulfill all of these six responsibilities that are mandated upon us by Allah Azza wa Jal and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Or are we constantly just living our own individual lives and, oh, jane another, come jane, and leave them alone, I'm just going to live my own life? We're not just here in isolation, we are here part of the unity, part of the huwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has developed, and we need to re-establish that within our hearts, within our minds, within our communities and our societies. May Allah Azza wa Jal enable us all to achieve that brotherhood that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam established in Madinatul Munawwara. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khaira. Kuch zaruri elanat aap hazrat samat farmaye. Kal se namaz-e-fajr ki jamaat inshallahul aziz.